The Precarious Trajectory of American Debt. As conservatives embraced new forms of economic stimulus in the 1980s, new genres of supportive economic literature found an audience. Some thinkers equated capitalism with quasi-religious gift-giving. Others perceived hitherto unappreciated civic virtue in earlier ages' robber barons. Still others extolled the virtues of deficits that could curb taxation and debt that could unlock corporate assets for more profitable deployment. After a while, economic vice became economic virtue. Fiscal gunslingers became paladins of the new debt frontier. Novelist Tom Wolfe cast a Wall Street bond trader as a master of the universe, self-imagined at least, in his bestseller Bonfire of the Vanities. By mid-decade, the high-interest junk bonds pioneered by Michael Milken were being hailed as constructive levers of a more democratic capitalism. Liberal economist Robert Reich countered that paper entrepreneurs who reshuffled money and debt were replacing those who made actual goods. To some conservative economists, wealth inequalities could be ignored because what ordinary Americans truly cared about was consumption. Their own ability to participate in the endless television advertising and credit card offers pouring out of Madison Avenue's American dream machine. "I shop, therefore I am" became a suburban motto and also a bumper sticker. The amount of consumer credit outstanding more than doubled between 1980 and 1990. Indebtedness flourished on many fronts, as a government artifice, a corporate tactic, an investment firm underwriting bonanza, and, for many ordinary citizens, a household indulgence or sheer economic necessity. The foundations of the 21st century borrower industrial complex were being poured. Although some federal deficit apologias had merit, more were flawed, often by their insufficient attention to the maturity of the U.S. economy. Historically, debt is constructive in emerging and adolescent nations, but perilous in those beginning to age or contemplate retirement. Take, for example, Alexander Hamilton's timely 1781 notion of a funded public debt as a fiscal boon, a national blessing. For a new nation with commercial aspirations, it might well be. The Dutch in the early 17th century and the English in the 1690s had pioneered funded national debts and found them essential for borrowing at reasonable rates of interest during wartime. Many generations later, however, as their public debts bloated and their national trajectories turned downward, Dutchmen and Britons in turn staggered under their heritage of lending, borrowing, and cultivating reliance on finance and rentier cultures. Debt ceased to be a blessing. Even Habsburg Spain had its own unique economic system that used gold and silver bullion from the New World to support bond issues and underwrite extravagant foreign wars. We will revisit those unhappy precedents in the next chapter. As the 21st century began, the United States was well into the dangerous part of the leading economic power trajectory. Finance had displaced manufacturing, despite Washington ploys to redefine and overstate the latter by including the output of hamburger emporiums and computer software. As the Federal Reserve Board pushed down interest rates between 2001 and 2004, consumer debt psychologies became increasingly reckless. One economist lamented that we're a "what's my monthly payment" nation. The idea is to have my monthly payments as big as I can take. If you cut interest rates, I'll get a bigger car. At $7.8 trillion in 2004, although computations vary, the national debt, the amount owed by the United States to holders of its sovereign debt, was the largest ever measured. The credit-driven economy of 2003 to 2004, for its part, in turn provoked dismissal as a phony recovery because of U.S. dependence on possibly the biggest fiscal and monetary stimulus in history. In the meantime, yet another measurement, net foreign indebtedness, $3.3 trillion by 2004, up from roughly zero in 1987, confirmed the United States as the world's principal debtor. Yet the borrowing continued. Cynics joked about Washington having to wheedle $2.5 billion per day.